Hello, everybody. You're listening to Osho Radio. We give you 1 hour of relaxation and meditation, especially for those of you in the busy marketplace. This is 1 hour just for yourself. So sit back and just enjoy.
जाना होगा फिर जीवन के वृंदावन में मुरलीधर बन जाना।
In today's discourse, Osho is answering the question, what is here now? If you listen to Osho, you will notice that he always talks about here now and never talks about here and now, as if they were two separate things. Osho is explaining about the here now as something that is really close to you and how you can experience the present moment, especially through the body. The discourse is from the series Walk Without Feet, Fly Without Wings, number 3. The full discourse you can download through the website oshoworld.com.
First question. What is here now? Does thought form part of it? Or is here now only in no mind? Thought is the capacity of not being here. So thought cannot exist in the here now. It cannot be part of it. That is impossible. Thought can only be either of the past or of the future. Thought can never be of the present. In the very process of thinking, that is implied, it is intrinsic to it. The moment you think, either you think of the past or you think of the future. It may be the immediate past, but it is still past. It is never the present. It cannot be the present. Thought needs a space, and the present moment has no space in it. Thought creates the past and the future to live. The bigger the past, the thought can move more easily. The bigger the future, again the thought can move more easily. The present is not capable of giving that space to thought to move. The present moment is a moment of no mind. Whenever you are in the present, you don't function as a mind. Your body is in the present, but your mind is never. Your body is always in the present. That's why the body is so beautiful and mind is so ugly. And down the ages, you have been taught to be with the mind and against the body. That has been the greatest calamity humanity has suffered up to now. If a new humanity is to be there, we will have to put things right. You have to be with the body and not with the mind. Use the mind, but never get identified with it. The mind is a good slave, but a very bad master. The body is wiser. When you are hungry, you are hungry here now. You cannot be hungry in the future. And you cannot be hungry in the past. When you are feeling thirsty, your throat is feeling it right now. It is immediate. It has a presence. But your mind is running in all directions. So your body and mind never meet. That's how you have become split. That's how schizophrenia has entered into the very being of man. Get out of the mind and get into the body. The more you are in your body, the more natural you will be. The more you are in the body, the closer to God you will be. Mind is just a device. Good, helpful, can be used in 1001 ways. But it is from there that the problem arises. Because it can be used in so many ways, you start becoming dependent on it. And by you lose consciousness of the present. And you become focused with the mind. then your life will be dry, a wasteland. And suddenly questions will arise. What is the meaning of life? Because mind cannot supply any meaning. Mind cannot give you any end. Mind cannot help you to live. It cannot give you life. It can give you technology. It can give you bigger machines. It can give you more affluence. But it cannot give you more life, more being. So riches go on growing. Technology goes on becoming more and more sophisticated, and man becomes more and more poor. This is strange. That outside riches go on accumulating, and inside man becomes a beggar. Never before in the history of man there was such inner emptiness, such inner meaninglessness, such inner poverty. The reason is significance comes from the body. The body is the body of God. Mind is man created. Body is still in God. It is still exists in God. It is still breathes God. You ask, what is here now? Now, if any mind answer is given to you, that won't be the right answer. Because anything that the mind can say as a definition of here now will be wrong. Anything whatsoever, it will be wrong. Mind knows nothing of here now, how it can define it. Just be silent. For a moment, just be. And it is there. This is here now. I will not give you a definition, because definitions come from the mind, and definitions will be taken by the mind. And here now is the existential experience. These trees, this bird calling, and the traffic noise, and the train, and the sun, and the trees, and you, and me, and this silence, this presence, when not even a single thought is stirring in, when the screen is utterly empty, not even a single picture moves. This is, and this cannot be defined. You can experience it. It is available. It is everybody's right to experience it. But how to define it? If you try to define it, you will have to bring past and future to define it. Go to the dictionaries, go to the Encyclopedia Britannica, what they will say. They will say present is a movement between the past and the future. That's the only way to define it. Now, can there be a more wrong way to define present? If you have to bring in the definition past and future, if you cannot define present without bringing past and future in it, how you are going to define it? The present is neither past nor future. And it is not between the two. It cannot be between the two.
Because the past is no more and the future is not yet. How the present can be between two non-existentials? The present is existential. How existence can be defined by something which is not? That is utter absurdity. But that's where logic moves. Logic appears very logical, but remains rooted in absurdity. Present is not between the past and the future. Present is beyond past and future. Present is eternity. Present is not even part of time. And it is not that the time passes. We pass, time remains. We come and go, time remains. It is not that the moment that was here just a moment before has become past. No. It is a single moment, utterly one. It is eternity. It is not passing. It is not going anywhere. Have you not observed sometimes sitting in a train waiting on a station? And your train starts moving and you feel the other train has started moving, which is just on the other track. Or the other train starts moving and you feel your train has started moving. And then you look closely and you find that no, your train is not moving, the other train is moving. Time remains there. We go on moving. We change. The ocean of time is there. The fish goes on moving. The movement is in our minds. Mind is movement. Truth is unmoving. It is always the same. Just see, when you were born, have you changed since then? Yes, on one level you have changed, certainly. Your body has grown. You are young or old. And so many things you have lived through. And experiences, and frustrations, and excitements, and ecstasies, and all that life gives. But go deep down. Have you really changed on that plane? At the very core of your being? Are you not the same? There nothing has changed. It is where you were. And it is where you will ever be. It is always the same there. It is one climate. On the surface things go on changing. The wheel of the cart goes on moving. But it moves on something which remains unmoving, the axle. You are both the circumference and the axle, the center. Even the cyclone is not there at the center. There is silence. Nothing ever moves there. That is your being. What name you give to it matters not. That center of the cyclone. That center of the cyclone is here now. It is not part of time. It is eternity. You ask me what is here now. Feel it. Experience it. That's what we are doing here. What is meditation? Getting into here now. What is love? Getting into here now. What is celebration? Getting into here now. But no definition is possible. Getting into is possible because in fact you have never got out of it. It is there. You can again turn and face it. While making love to a woman or to a man, have you not felt the here now? If you have not felt, then you have not loved. Making love to a woman, have you not forgotten the past? Has not the past utterly disappeared in that moment? In that moment, do you have a past, a history, an autobiography? If you have, then you don't know how to love. Then you have been just playing the game of love, not knowing exactly what it is. You have not loved. While making love, your autobiography simply disappears. There is no more any past, as if you had never existed. You are not old. In that moment, you are virgin newness. In that moment, you are born for the first time. In that moment, there is rebirth. Love is resurrection. And there is no future. Is there tomorrow? While making love to your woman, are you thinking of the tomorrow? What you are going to do tomorrow? Then you are not with the woman and you are not in love either. All thinking stops. That's the joy of love. That's why I say that sex and samadhi are joined together. Sex is the lowest ladder. Samadhi is the highest rung of the same ladder. They belong to the same ladder. Sex, the lowest rung. Samadhi, the highest rung. But the ladder is the same. There is affinity. Man got the idea of samadhi from two things, sex and sleep. Deep sleep is also on the same ladder. Man became alert of the phenomenon of samadhi, became excited, intrigued by the phenomenon of love and sleep, because in both these moments, time disappears. Time stops. Mind stops. Thinking no more functions. And because thinking no more functions and time stops, there is such ecstasy and such joy. Then man became intrigued. Is it possible to attain this joy without falling into sleep? Because in sleep it happens, but you are not aware of it. It is very unconscious. Only in the morning you hear the distant sound of it, or the latter effects. If you had slept deeply in the night, in the morning you feel renewed, rejuvenated. But you have not been there exactly while it was happening, what it was. In sex, you are more aware. But then the sex moment is so small that rather than satisfying you, it leaves you very much frustrated. Greater the experience of love, the greater will be the frustration that comes in its wake. Remember, only great lovers are frustrated with love. Ordinary lovers are not frustrated with love. Because the higher the peak, the greater will be the fall. And the peak exists only for a single moment. It comes and it is gone. It is like lightning. And when it is gone, you have known the taste of it. And now nothing will taste better. And everything will look ordinary compared to it. And everything will look mundane. You have experienced something of the sacred. You have experienced something of God. God flashed like lightning. But you could not catch hold of his face. You could not figure it out how he looks. And he was gone. It was so fast and so sudden. Men became interested. Is it possible to prolong that experience? Is it possible to remain in that experience a little longer? Is it possible to go into it a little deeper? Is it possible to have that experience without moving into sex? Because sex by its very nature depends on the other. It is a kind of dependence. And all kinds of dependencies destroy our freedom. That's the eternal fight between the lovers. They are giving something to each other which is immensely valuable, but mixed with poison. They cannot live separate and they cannot live together. If they are separate, they start missing the joy that was happening through the other. If they are together, the poison is too much. And one starts thinking, is the joy worth it? Because you have to depend on the other. When you depend on the other, your freedom is destroyed. Your freedom becomes defined, confined, limited. You cannot open yourself as you would like to open. You have always to look at the other and other's feelings. You feel prevented, hindered. And the other starts possessing you. The other starts becoming powerful over you. Because the other knows that it is through him or her that you feel joy. Man started looking for the same experience without becoming dependent on the other. Then, if it depends only on sexual experience, it cannot last forever. You can have sex once in a while. And what about the other times? All other times you will remain dull and dead. Is it possible to have that joy continuously as a continuum, like a river flowing always? These were the speculations of man. But they came from sleep and love. In love, sometimes it happens. And that is the moment which is called orgasm. If time stops, if thinking stops, and you are utterly here now, it is orgasmic. This orgasmic experience will give you the taste. I cannot define it. but I can indicate ways how to feel it. If you have some aesthetic sense, then some aesthetic experience will give you. Seeing a sunset. If you have the heart of a painter, the heart stops. You start missing beats. The sun is setting. Just falling and falling and falling, and a moment more and it will be gone. And all that color in the clouds, and all that sublime beauty, and the birds returning back to their homes, and the silence settling on the earth, and the trees getting ready to go to bed. And the whole nature saying goodbye to the sun. If you have the aesthetic heart, if you are a poet, or a painter, or a musician, if you know what beauty is, if you are affected by beauty, not so-so, but tremendously, if beauty gives you awe, then you will know what here now is. Are listening to music? It happens sometimes. There is nothing more meditational than music. Or if you can play some instrument to yourself, then it is far better. Because listening, you remain on the periphery. Playing, you are at the center. If playing some instrument, playing a flute or sitar or guitar, and you are lost into it, absolutely lost into it, time stops. Mind is no more there. A Buddha moment arrives, and you know what is here now. Or if you can dance, which seems to me the most profound experiences. If you can dance, and dance so deeply that the dancer disappears, only the dance remains, then again you will be here now. I cannot define it, but I can indicate few things. You will have to experience it. It is a taste, a Zen master was dying, and the disciples had gathered. And his whole life he was talking about here now. That's what masters have been doing down through the ages. And the disciples asked again, Master, you are leaving us and we will be left in darkness. Is there any last message so that we can cherish it and remember it forever? We will keep it as a sacred memory in our hearts. The master opened his eyes. At that moment, on the roof of his hut, a squirrel ran, making noise, tit tit, TV, tit tit. And the master raised his hand and said, "This is it." And died. What he is saying, this is it. He is simply indicating He's simply saying, there is nothing to say. There is much to see, but there is nothing to say.
This was Osho Radio for today. The music at the beginning of the program was music from the world of Osho, called Samba Om, from the CD Hidden Harmony. After that, you listened to a song by Anant Richa and an instrumental piece of music by Prem Joshua. After the discourse, the soft piece of music you were listening to was by Deuter, and we're going to finish with a happy song by Milarepa, which today I'd like to dedicate to a very dear friend. Goodbye, everybody. Take care and namaste.
Invisible worlds, mystical dreams. I'm just a watcher on the hill.
Invisible worlds, colors of truth, shining from eyes of love, so full of light. Leaving no footprints in the sky, I disappear without a trace, only the light to show me the way. Leaving no footprints in the sky, I disappear without a trace, only the light to show me the way.
Show me the way.